Thank you, Larcy. I fully endorse and am excited about everything that's going to transpire in the next year or two. Younger children, you may be dismissed for Children's Church. So, what's going to happen? Kind of interesting that this sermon was in the works before all this other stuff took place. So, take a moment to get things sorted out here. There's one of the exciting things about our church, headed out those doors, and thank you to those who serve in Children's Church, and they are the behind-the-scenes unsung heroes, and we appreciate them so much in the work that they do, week in and week out. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen? How many of you like to watch whodunit shows, like murder mysteries or that kind of thing? Anybody a whodunit fan? How many of them are really good at figuring out what's going to happen? Anybody? My wife's pretty good at it. If we happen to, which happens very seldom, but if we happen to watch a movie together, sometimes she can predict what's going to happen. And a lot of times she's right. So I'm a simple man, and I just try to figure out what's going to happen at the end of the Andy Griffith Show, okay? So the last one I watched, and you may have seen this one, it's a classic, Barney's cousin Virgil comes, and he's the absolute klutz of klutzes. And, you know, he gets invited to Aunt B's for dinner, and he tries to grab the roast, and it spills on Andy's lap, and he backs the squad car through the fence at Andy's house, and he comes to the office to help out, and he pokes a broom through the glass on the bookcase and breaks it, and then he takes the jail keys. Have anybody seen this one? Cousin Virgil? What's going to happen with Cousin Virgil? Thank you, Ed. So Cousin Virgil, Barney tries to figure out something for him to do, and he says, "Oh, okay, well, the jail keys, they're all rusty and corroded, and they need to be cleaned up. So Virgil, you take these and clean them up." So Virgil cleans them up, and he brings them back, and they're all shiny and nice. But when Barney tries to use them, they won't unlock the jail, and Otis is supposed to be getting out, and supposed to have an appointment for a job, and Otis is frantic, and Virgil cleaned the keys so good he wore all the notches off and they wouldn't unlock the... So you're thinking, what's going to happen? How's this going to end? Well, in the end, it discovers that Virgil has special talents and he does well working alone, but not under the pressure of somebody. So what's going to happen? Well, I'm going to take this question in a little different direction than you might have imagined, because I'm talking in specific terms about what's going to happen to you and I personally. What's going to happen? We live in a rather complicated world, I believe. And just let me warn you, I had 9 pages of notes for this sermon, so I just pretty well threw those away, and we're just gonna go with the basics here on this idea of what's gonna happen. Changes, dramatic changes. In my lifetime, we have seen dramatic changes, and the fact of the matter is, I don't think our life in terms of morality, decency, godly living, I don't see this life getting better. Do you? Do you see the world getting better? There are people out there maybe have a pie-in-the-sky idea of what's gonna happen in the future. And, you know, one school of thought, the humanist says we're getting better all the time and we're going to solve all the world's problems kind of on our own thing. I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen. Drastic changes. Where is the world headed? What's going to happen? What's going to happen to our world? Well, God has revealed to us, I believe, everything that we need to know to live productive lives, to live as people of hope, to have anticipation of what the next chapter brings, about what God has for us personally, for our church, what God has in the future. I don't know about you, but I think we need hope today. We need hope. And as my friend Doug Reynolds says, and he just left to go do children's church, hope has a name. That name is Jesus. Our world, if our world needs anything, our world needs Jesus. We need a revival in our world. We need to get back to godly values. So, we're going to talk about some really basic ideas, some really basic things this morning. The first thing is, we know this. What's going to happen? We know that our time on this earth is limited. Did you know that? We're not going to live forever. We are living longer and healthier lives because of the advances in medicine and in technology and things. We are living longer and healthier lives. If you're 65 today, if you're a man, you're expected to live about 84.3 years. That's the average. If you're a woman, I think you get a couple more years. Women that are 65 today expect to live 80 to 86.7. Those are averages. But there's also this idea that a lot of people are living past 90. One in four who are 65 today will live past 90. And one in 10 will live past the age of 95. In 2014, there were 72,197 Americans aged 100 or older. That's up 44% from 2000, when there were only 50,000 centenarians. But check this out. Whether you live to be 70, 80, 90, even 100, what's the end result? Your days, your time on this earth is limited. You only have so many days. The Bible says, James 4:14, he's talking about go to a city and take business and or build something or make go to a city and make a profit. He said, why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Peter puts it like this: all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. This life on this earth is limited. Our time is limited. The psalmist said, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Our time on this earth is limited. We need to remember that. The Bible says, just as it is appointed once to die, every man, every person, everybody in this room, 150 years from now, I'm pretty sure that we won't be here. The oldest living person in the world that was verified living person, I think they're passed on now, but they lived to be 122 years old. So recently, I think it was back in 2013, they discovered an Ethiopian farmer who claimed to be 160 years old. And the reason they thought he was that old is because he could remember things that happened, historic events that happened in the later 1800s. Of course, not verifiable, but no birth certificate or anything like that. So nobody knows for sure. But even if you live to be 150 or 100, your days are limited. Everybody understand that? You understand that? We mentally acknowledge that. We don't think about that. But our days on this earth are limited. Psalm 144, O Lord, what is man that you care for him, the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like passing shadows. Job's perspective. Job said, man born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away like a fleeting shadow. He does not endure. Man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and you have set limits he cannot exceed. So this Job character experienced a lot of heartache and trouble in this world. And he realized that our days on this earth are limited. But yet, Job had an optimistic outlook about the eventual happenings. He says, I know, chapter 19, I know that my Redeemer lives. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Our days on this earth are limited. The second truth that we need to know is that even though our days on this earth are limited, we are eternal beings. We are eternal beings. Our souls will live on forever. We are eternal. In Matthew chapter 25, and if you have a Bible, love for you to go there with me. Matthew 25, Jesus talks about this scene, a great judgment scene. The sheep and the goats, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his thrones in heavenly glory. 31, Matthew 21, 25, 31. 32, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And you know how the story evolves, that those who knew, had a relationship with God, saw needs, and they attended to them. They visited the sick and those in prison, and they fed the hungry, and they took care of the needs that they saw around them. Those who did not have the relationship with God didn't even see these needs. So what did Jesus say in conclusion to this? He said, there's going to be a time of separation. He said, they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. See those words, eternal? Eternal. We are eternal. Our souls are eternal. We have eternity in our hearts, in our lives. John 3:16 and 17, we all know well, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, says in the King James. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. What's going to happen? Understand, our days on this earth are limited. Our days on this earth are limited. Yet we are eternal beings. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, we know this. There is a time for everything under heaven. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to kill, and a time to refrain. And down in verse 11, it says, he, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? We don't know. We don't know the beginning from the end, do we? What do we know? We know today. We know that we're sitting here listening to this old preacher. What do we know? What's going to happen? Do you remember the day you were born? Do you remember? No, I don't. I have early recollections of my early childhood, and probably most of them are from things that have been told me. But we are eternal beings. I don't know how it's going to end. Do you? The Bible says we don't know. We can't know. We do know that our days are limited, and there will come a time when our lives on this earth are over. Timothy, Paul wrote to the young pastor Timothy about a matter of salvation. and that we are to pray for everyone. This is good and pleases God, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. So here is the good news. Our days on earth are limited. We are eternal beings. And the good news is Jesus has prepared a custom-designed eternal place for us. These are familiar words. I often read these words at memorial services, celebration of life services, funerals, if you will. But they are appropriate in what we're thinking about today. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Words in red. These are the words of Jesus himself. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know your way. We don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. God has prepared a place for me and you. So let's think about a hypothetical this morning. How many of you here this morning had the absolute perfect week this past week? How many of you had a perfect week? Every night you got 8 hours of unbelievably refreshing rest. Every day you ate three amazing gourmet meals. Every day you worked and your work was joyous and fulfilling. And not only did you work productively, it was wonderful, but you had time for leisure activities that you enjoy. You had time to spend time with family and friends. It was just an amazing, perfect week. How many of you had that? Nobody? Nobody? Well, you see, this life and this world in which we live is not perfect at all. This world is stained by sin. This is a fallen world. Satan, it says, is the prince of the power of the air. So the devil is at work in our world. We know that we have the greater one living within us. So greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So we need not be defeated by the troubles that come our way. God is with us. I love the song. It brought a tear to my eye to sing, I am not alone. I am not alone. The Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit goes before me. I am not alone. So let's imagine that that I have this place. It's actually a physical place here on this earth for our purposes. And this place is amazing. It's perfect. It's luxurious. And this place, I tell you, hey, friend, you can go there for free. And you can stay as long as you want. I have this place for you. So what do you want to know about the place? You want to know, how do I get there? How do I get there? And I tell you, guess what? I'll take you there. I'll take you there. Isn't that pretty much what John is saying, or Jesus is saying here in John chapter 14? Isn't that pretty much what Jesus is saying? Jesus, the Son of God, my situation was strictly hypothetical, strictly theory. I don't have such a place, I'm sorry. But Jesus, the Son of God, said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come and I'll personally take you there. What's not to like about that? What's not to like about that? You know what? This week has been a challenging week. I've heard some terrible stuff. I've heard some awful stuff that people that I know even have been involved in their lives. Some awful stuff. You know what? This old world not enough. The great God of the universe has something infinitely better for you and I. Do you believe that? This world, you know the old saying, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. It would seem that this is so. All the stuff that we have you ever thought about this? Back 200 years ago, many people in this country were living day to day, subsistence, I would call it subsistence living. So they were just living to have enough food to eat to survive. When they were settling this great country, people in where I grew up went to South Dakota and they found out, wow, it's cold here. So what did they do? They took what they had. They built sod huts and dug out in the ground so that they could have shelter from the cold. And they burned buffalo chips to keep warm in the winter, or they twisted hay up together just to have some fuel to burn to keep warm in the winter with subsistence living. How many things do you have in your life right now that you could do without and you would not die? You could do without TV. You could do without internet. You could do without your cell phone. You could do without air conditioning. Yeah, I said air conditioning, okay? Think about that. 1965, only 10% of the homes in America had air conditioning. Some of us can remember that, okay? We had fans, and we were lucky to have that. All that stuff we could do without, and we would not die. We would still be fine. This world and the technology, medical breakthroughs, in some ways has made our lives better, but they have made it more complicated, more complex. We live in a different kind of a world, and it's not a good world. Look what Jesus said. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back. I'll take you to be where I am. Paul wrote in Galatians, now the works of the flesh are evident. Do we see any of this in our day? Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The plain truth of the gospel. This world is filled with sin. God has something better. And he tells us about that something better in the book of Revelation. And I like to go to the end of the book of Revelation. The rest of the book of Revelation is very challenging because it's a whole plethora of symbols that mean different things to different people. But we know that in the end, we win. And that if we have trusted Christ as our Savior, there's nothing for us to fear. So let's just look a little bit at Revelation 21. Verse 4 says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things will be gone forever. Can you imagine a new emotional existence for our lives? Can you imagine no more death, no sorrow, no pain, no sickness, no crying? Can you imagine? Later on in the chapter, John's revelation, John writes, the angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, the gate, its gates and its walls. The city was laid out like a square. As long as it was wide, he measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length and as wide and as high as it is long. He measured its walls and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundation of the city's walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone, etc., etc. Verse 22, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and its Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. So words that John used and were revealed to him were words that are earthly words, and it represented the perfectness and the durability of what heaven is. But you know, understand that the Bible does not spend as much time describing heaven as it does talking and wooing us into a relationship, a personal relationship with the Creator God who loves us infinitely so much that He would send his Son to die on a cross for our sins. That is the focus of the Bible. We see in Genesis chapter 2, relationship lost. Sin deformed us. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can transform us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the question that we have to ask, knowing these things: one, our time on earth is limited. Second, we are eternal beings. The consistent message of the Bible is that whether we are saved or not saved, we will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. That is the plain truth of the gospel. I can't explain it any more plainly than that. We are eternal beings. Our time on earth is living. We are eternal beings. God has prepared a place for us to be with Him forever. So the question that we have to ask, and here's another an answer: nothing impure will ever enter it into heaven. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So basically, is your name written down? Is your name in? Are you prepared for eternity? That is the question that all of us have to answer this morning. Are you prepared for eternity? When you accept Jesus Christ, actually eternal life begins the day that you accept Him. That life is within you, abundant life. So if nothing impure is going to enter there, we know that we are sinners. So what's the answer to that? God made Jesus. God didn't make Jesus. Jesus always was. God sent Jesus. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us. Jesus took upon Himself the penalty of our sins so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. When Jesus was celebrating the Passover before His death, His crucifixion, He said this, He gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So how can we who are sinners, who are impure, enter into this perfect place, this heaven? Jesus. Jesus is the answer. 1 John 1:7, John writes, "If we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." 1 John 1:9 is one we know well. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Are you prepared for eternity? How do we prepare for eternity? The scriptures are clear. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from dead. It's a heart thing. It's what you believe in your heart. Not just what you think in your head. It's what you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified. With the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, "Everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame, for there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So the message and the purpose of this message is very simple. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? If for some reason you would die tonight, would you go to be with the Lord forever? Most important question you could ever answer for your life. Our days on this earth are limited. We are eternal beings, and we will spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And we choose. We have free will. We choose to accept or reject this prepared place, this amazing gift of grace, this amazing gift of salvation. We choose to accept or reject that. So, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for preparing a place for us, an unbelievable place, a place that in human terms we can't comprehend. John the Revelator tried to put some human words and some descriptions to it, but they're not adequate. To spend our eternity in the presence of God Almighty and for things to be emotionally on a total different plane, no sorrow, no sickness, no pain, no dying. God, it sounds almost too good to be true, but you promise it. And God, we are eternal, so one day our bodies, this tent in which our souls are living, this tent will be folded up and we will either spend eternity in heaven or in hell. So help us to embrace what God has for us, to accept the salvation. If there's one person here this morning who does not know you, I pray that today would be the day that they say yes to you and invite you just to simply say, I know I'm a sinner. I know that Christ died on the cross for my sins. I accept and trust fully in Jesus Christ for my salvation. May they say that prayer. May they make that prayer. Sincere, heartfelt prayer. For your word says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we don't want anybody to miss out on heaven, which is the ultimate place of joy, which we're going to sing about in just a moment. Joy that only Jesus can bring to our lives. Eternal, lasting joy. We give you praise and thanks for this day. Thank you for the good news of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand up and sing together. If you'd like to pray, the altars are always open. Folks are available to pray with you in the chapel. So if you need to pray or you need to talk to somebody, please do that today.